This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jonathan Clark, former British diplomat who's now a senior fellow at the Carnegie Council. We want to get his thoughts on what he's noticed in the contentious campaign for the majority in the House of Commons and therefore the leadership as the next prime minister in the United Kingdom. It is election day today in the UK, and Jonathan's here to express what he's seen over the past few weeks in this compressed campaign season. And Jonathan, it's great to have you with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg.
Well, the consensus at the time was that the ruling Labour Party would be in big trouble. Most of the polls seem to suggest it's still going to be an uphill fight for Gordon Brown and his party today. Do you see that as well?
I think so, very much. I think it's very difficult to predict right now exactly how it's going to turn out. But I think that one thing is fairly clear is that Gordon Brown's days at number 10 Downing Street are limited. He's had a very poor campaign, and I think the British people will be looking to see the back of him, even if they don't deliver a complete outright majority to David Cameron, the leader of the Conservative Party.
Do the Labour Party really have an option here? Could they have decided that Gordon Brown is not the figure we want at the top of the ticket here in our efforts to keep control? Or since he was the incumbent, they pretty much had to stick with him?
They had to stick with him. The British system is that the Prime Minister of the ruling Prime Minister is the head of the ruling party. So short of actually dumping him before the election, and there were certainly some rumours to that effect. But short of doing that, they had to go into the election with him at the top of the ticket.
Interesting. And, of course, perhaps the biggest surprise over the past few weeks has been the insurgence of this Liberal Democratic Party with Nick Clegg winning outright the first debate and certainly gaining a lot more attention for his party than anyone had suspected. Which party between the Labour and the Conservatives stands to lose the most if, in fact, there is a groundswell of support for the Liberal Democrats?
That's an interesting question, Greg, but I think probably it's the Conservatives who stand to lose more, because they were hoping to pick up a number of seats, 25 seats plus, from a certain area of England. That's now very unlikely for that to happen. So they have got to win seats elsewhere in the country. So it's slightly tilted the balance of advantage against the Conservatives. What one's hearing, though, is that there are some signs of a late surge for the Conservatives, which perhaps against all the odds of the past 10 days of opinion polling may just get them over the finishing line as the largest party, and perhaps even with a small overall majority.
So basically the threat to the Conservatives is that the Liberal Democrats might split that discontented vote. What, more than anything else, are voters in the UK discontented about?
Well, they're very discontented really about the state of economy. It's not so very different back here. Economic recovery has been faltering. The job situation remains very adverse. Incomes are not progressing. The public services, the debate about public services, National Health Service, schools, state of roads, all these things are very much under the gun in terms of spending by the government. And everybody's expecting that whoever is going to be in the control of Parliament after this election, there are going to have to be some drastic cuts in government spending and social spending. And so everybody is feeling, I think, nervous a little bit about what's going to happen going forward.
Jonathan, do you suspect that one party will likely win the majority outright, or will we have to see some sort of coalition like we see in some other countries?
The conventional wisdom right now is that some form of coalition is going to have to emerge, which is pretty unfamiliar territory for the Brits. In continental Europe, it's absolutely standard practice, Italy, France, Germany. But in Britain, you normally have the electoral system normally delivers a fairly good working majority for the winner. It may not happen in this case, in which case we are going to be in for a more unusual scenario in British politics.
Well, we've seen certainly the relationship between the UK and the United States with Gordon Brown as prime minister, both with President Bush and now President Obama. If David Cameron were to be the next prime minister, would anything fundamentally change about British policy towards the U.S.?
No, I don't believe so. I think continuity would be very much the watchword. The only major difference would happen if the Liberal Democrats were to get into a position of power on foreign policy. because they are looking at fairly substantial alterations to the British defence posture, which could, in fact, bring them into some fairly fundamental disagreements with the US. But that's unlikely to happen. So I think that in terms of US-UK relations, those are very much going to go forward on the current basis. The Conservatives are very much committed to Afghanistan, for example, and are naturally pro-American.
If Clegg and the Liberal Democrats were to get some sort of authority, they've, as you mentioned just a moment ago, basically said they don't want to see the UK as kind of doing the bidding of the United States. That's kind of the language they've used. What would they change?
The major thing that they want to change is that there is a program for nuclear modernization, the modernization of Britain's nuclear submarine force. And that's an expensive program, and it requires the British to assert themselves still as a global nuclear power. And the Liberals are saying that the time has come for Britain not, in fact, to undertake the modernization of its nuclear force and to assume a more modest role in the world. As I say, I think this is something which they certainly believe in, and something which has been very public in their manifesto. Nonetheless, I think it's a pretty unlikely scenario that they will be in a position, in fact, to assert that. But that would be a pretty much a break from current practice in terms of relationships with the United States.
Jonathan, last question calls for a bit of speculation. Do you think we'll basically know the outcome later today, or could this take a little while?
With Britain being 5 hours ahead of here, if you're willing to stay up until 12 or 1 a.m. on the East Coast, I think you should have a pretty good idea of whether somebody is going to emerge as the majority winner, or whether there's going to be a coalition government.
Very interesting. We see a lot of discontent right here in the U.S. It's certainly the case as well in Britain, at least in this parliamentary election season. Jonathan, thank you very much for your insights.
Pleasure, Greg.
Jonathan Clark is a former British diplomat. He's now a senior fellow with the Carnegie Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.